This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Day for him. He had a broken axle. He had to call it off early.
Heard a little Donald Trump in Batman's.
Wrong.
On 1340 WKGN.
Even Logano and Hamlin, they had some choice words after the race because they had some bumps late in the race, and they came after each other afterwards like, where is he? Where is he? Harvick, Blaney, and Larson need better weeks as well. We will see how they do in Texas next week.
Texas next week?
Texas. Rachel, where is he?
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Cam?
All right. The University of Michigan has reached a $500 million settlement in their sexual abuse scandal.
Michigan?
Yeah.
What the hell happens in the Big Ten? I thought you were going to say Michigan State.
Nope, it is Michigan this time. Dr. Robert Anderson.
Another doctor, too?
Yeah, he was settled for nearly $500 million with over 1,000 people who said they were sexually assaulted by Dr. Robert Anderson. It was officially announced Wednesday, and the money will be shared between the 1,050 people. Says the University of Michigan has accepted responsibility financially and otherwise for harm that was caused by Anderson to so many young people that could have been avoided. Attorney Jamie White said in a statement, the university should be commended and not condemned. Anderson, who died at the age of 80 in 2008, worked at Michigan for nearly 40 years from the 1960s through the early 2000s. His various positions in his time at the school include head medical doctor for the football team. His alleged sexual abuse was so widely known that he became known by a nickname, Dr. Drop Your Draws Anderson. So he just had a long history of abuse through different programs. Even with, like, former members of the football team are like, included in this and stuff like that. But lots of football players, just different, you know, sports teams throughout the years he's been working with. So the state of Michigan, back-to-back us cases over there, it seems like, for them.
My God.
Yeah.
How do you get away with over 1,000 before you get caught?
Power, man.
Sounds like he wasn't not getting caught. It sounds like he just didn't care.
Yeah, it's like obviously it sounds like they knew, and everybody kind of knew a little bit, but also at the same time, you know, it kind of is like how those cultures get kind of stuck in the, it's like similar to sexual assault cases just in like everyday life. Like people are almost like scared to like mention it, to think about the backlash, think about like what will these people think about me, whether this, that. It happens, and it's unfortunate, but.
That was one of the my biggest takeaways from that serial killer book I read was how many of like the serial killers should have been caught fairly early on because of like assault allegations of like people that had escaped. And the cops just like either didn't follow up on it or just like misread the situation. Mm-hmm. Like every now and then it'd be like, you know, every now and then one of the killers would be like, you know, it was homosexual crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in the 70s, they didn't really care about it. It's like they didn't look into it because, like, that was a group they didn't truly care about. But other times, it was just like, yeah, this guy seems okay.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem like something he would do. It's our word against, it's your word against his, and we're just not going to look into this. It's fine.
Yep.
It'll be good next time. And then, boom, 20 more people ended up dead and chopped up. Yeah. And I was like, my God, so many of those stories. Like, everyone was like, yeah, he should have been caught here, but got away from the cops.
I mean, that's exactly how the like Larry Nassar stuff went too.
I mean, they obviously knew what was going on. They called him Dr. Drop Your Draw, so like they knew he was a little creepy.
Yep.
That's pitiful. I don't really know how to switch gears from there, but you got a new number one in the Athletic's latest NFL mock draft.
Let's go!
Not Aiden Hutchinson, not Kayvon Thibodeau.
Is it Neil?
Is it a Kongwu?
It is a Kongwu. Okay. Akeem Okongwu, the offensive tackle from NC State.
He's okay. A dog.
That's who is now at the top of the Athletics mock draft by, I think, Dane Brugler. So I guess for Jacksonville, they don't really need more pass rushers. It seems like they need offensive line more, especially like, to protect Trevor Lawrence. So I guess that makes sense that we will now kind of slide those guys down a couple spots.
And I think it's just going to end up destiny that Hutchinson ends up in Detroit. Just almost off just the Michigan stuff.
I would just be trading back.
Well, that's the thing is, like, who's going to be trading up?
I don't know, but I'm trying to trade back. If I'm in the top 15, I want out.
If everyone's trading back, it's impossible to trade back. Like
Well, if I were the Titans, I'd trade up.
I'm really hoping that Washington needs a quarterback at 11 and trades up to 8.
No quarterbacks taken in the first 10 picks. Now, I'm only looking at the first 10 picks this mock draft, but no quarterbacks taken in the first 10 picks.
Did Thibodeau slide all the way to 8?
Number 8 is the Atlanta Falcons taking David Ojabo from Michigan.
Okay.
Thibodeau falls down to number 3 to the Houston Texans.
Okongwu might be a – I mean, if Bolter has him going first round this early, could be a good play. Let me see what his odds are. He's plus 2,500 to go number 1 right now.
Who?
Okongwu. Akamu?
Really?
Akamu, yeah.
He's how much?
Plus 2,500.
I mean, this is just one mock draft, but...
But, I mean, he has, like the 9th or 10th or 11th, like, best odds right now.
Huh.
Might be a decent value play to just throw something on right now.
Okay.
If he's getting up there, right, early projections.
Interesting.
Mock draft season. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Dwayne Haskins. Says he is getting set to have his exit meeting with Mike Tomlin, but he has already met with the GM, and the GM has told him he will have a chance to compete and start next year. So
that's what I thought.
Dwayne Haskins could be your starting quarterback next year in Pittsburgh.
Speaking of NFL and quarterbacks, the Eagles, basically their GM came out and said that Jalen Hurts is the guy for next year. They basically came out and, kind of just backing him going into the offseason. You know, a lot of people are wondering what they'll do with 3 first-round picks, if they'll trade, whatever, but,
I still don't think it's going to be Jalen Hurts. I mean, maybe, but wouldn't that be a little disappointing if you're an Eagles fan and you have 3 first-round picks right now and you come back with Jalen Hurts as your quarterback? Yeah. Do you still need to see more from him? That playoff game would be enough for me.
Yeah, that was
He's such a limited passer that, like, it's hard to move forward with him, but it's worked for the Ravens okay with the limited passer in Lamar. I guess Lamar is slightly better as a passer.
And they both had a similar, first playoff game. Although, I mean, is Jalen Hurts as good of a runner as Lamar Jackson? Like, I don't even feel
statistically,
like
statistically, he is.
I don't feel like it's like.
I think it's just different styles.
Yeah, I know, but I still don't,
statistically, he's as good, if not better.
But also, I think they design run more for Hurts as well.
Does the eye test tell you that? You could tell me statistically, but like...
Honestly, it doesn't look as flashy, but yes, the eye test would tell you that.
Okay.
For
me, when I watch Jalen Hurts, there was times I see a lot of garbage time scrambling, and, goal line scrambling is good there, but also feel like he's a more physical runner, which to me doesn't like...
Bode well for
it doesn't like bode well.
Staying
like,
healthy.
Lamar can run for 15 yards and get down or take it the distance. Like, I don't know. I don't view them in the same class.
No.
Maybe you just try to build around him, though, and try to, build a team that complements it like the Ravens did. But
I guess you would give him one more year just because this isn't a good offseason to get a quarterback, especially through the draft.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're trading or trying to get somebody in free agency, it might not be bad, but draft-wise, yes. I'm not advocating for them drafting a quarterback in the first round. Although, with one of the 3 picks, I mean, you could do that.
Yeah. I would maybe draft, Carson Strong in the second round and just let Carson, Gardner, and Jalen all compete for the starting job. I would at least have a competition. Like, I wouldn't just say right now on January 19th that Jalen Hurts has done enough to be the starting quarterback. But I guess, at least that does give you an offseason with more certainty, with a little bit more continuity, where you know what you're building around, and then you can work on improving the other areas rather than having the quarterback question be up in the air.
I don't know what the fix is. I mean, I guess, like I said, with 3 first-round picks, if you want to try to go out and get a Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers, a Russell Wilson. Like one of those three guys make it make sense, but outside of that, maybe it doesn't. If you're the, I mean, if you're the Eagles, you wouldn't want to trade a first round pick for like Derek Carr, right? You wouldn't want to do that, right?
Yeah, I
so like otherwise, I don't know who would be available. So maybe they just do have to run it back. Debut last night, Cam.
What happened?
Hillary Duff is back.
Oh, that show's out.
How I Met Your Father hit Hulu.
I was wondering why screenshots of her were all over the like.
Oh,
Twitter.
She was looking good too.
I was wondering why her picture was popping up everywhere.
She was looking good. Well, stepped out in the second episode with a Michael Jordan jersey on with a nice little like red flannel around her. She was killing it. After two episodes, I'm ready to declare it better than the original.
Okay.
How I Met Your Father is going to be better than How I Met Your Mother. I'm ready
to
say
that
after two episodes. Yeah.
Okay.
I turned it off six minutes in. It was an abomination.
I'm in.
It was terrible.
How do you know it was terrible if you only watched 6 minutes?
That was all I needed to know, that it was terrible.
It was
so terrible.
Was Hillary Duff not in the first 6 minutes?
No, I mean, like, if she was not in the first 6 minutes, I would have only watched 3 minutes. Ooh. The extra 3 minutes are just me being like, man, I forgot how good Hillary Duff looks.
Yeah. No, it's better than the original. Okay. I'm ready to say that already.
You are a clown human being.
It's a good show.
You deserve face paint, a nose.
I do have a nose already. Thank you.
Thank you for telling me I deserve a nose. You shouldn't
right
be allowed
to. After your
anymore.
Dark Knight takes, I don't know.
You
I may have to slide with
anymore.
John on this one. More
go watch How I Met Your Father. It is the worst thing that's ever. It is a disgrace to television and to the great name of How I Met Your Mother.
You only watched 6 minutes. You don't know what you're talking about.
You want me to go watch the rest and then still tell you how bad it is?
Like Cam said, after the Dark Knight, I don't think people really respect your opinion on this.
I don't like superheroes. I respect the Dark Knight is a great movie, that it has greatness around it, but I don't like it the same way that I don't like to watch LeBron play basketball, and I don't like LeBron. I know he's a great player.
Right,
but
so people just, you've lost your credibility with a lot of people.
You know, I think you're just liking to be wrong today. You're just enjoying being wrong. I mean, it started with going at me about the Nationals. Now you're just saying that How I Met Your Father is going to be better than one of the best shows ever made.
I'm just telling you what the streets are saying.
So you watched both episodes?
Yep.
I just can't believe that you enjoyed that. It was so cheesy, corny, just dumb.
Mm. I'm going to watch the first 6 minutes and
Hillary Duff
make my assumption.
Mm. Good batch of headlines. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Tennessee got out of Nashville with a win last night. New bracketology update. Tennessee is a
5 seed.
7 seed.
5 seed.
Playing Davidson.
Playing Davidson. No. Oh. Playing Guyana. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Which would be terrifying.
Rick would just.
And this seems like a messed up situation for Tennessee. I mean, obviously this could all change, you know, 1,000 more times. But right now, Tennessee playing 12 seed Iona in Buffalo seems like a bad idea. Isn't Iona in like upstate New York? Isn't that where Iona is?
They're around there.
Yeah.
They're up near Marist.
Yeah.
I think.
No thanks.
I don't know. Iona's come back down to earth.
I don't care.
I don't want Patino out there.
You don't
want
to play
coaching Barnes the whole time.
Tennessee, a 5 seed right now in the South region. Auburn has risen to the number one overall seed. Auburn. Bruce Pearl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're 21.5-point favorites against Georgia tonight.
Nice that the NCAA took those allegations seriously. It seems a little stupid to me. That while, like, Tennessee, which I don't know if you've seen the story, Charlie, but the only basically the only transfer we have in football right now, the wide receiver from Wyoming, Isaiah Neuer. I don't know if you saw, but he's apparently visiting Texas this weekend.
He's already been to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Still, he told like VolQuest, I think, that he's still solid.
After the Ole Miss thing, he did. But then his dad apparently also said that they were taking no more visits, and now he's going to Texas. And the last update I saw was from VolQuest, Brent Hubb, saying that he was not answering the phone anymore.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Basically, like, yeah, we can't get a touch of him. I don't know. I've tried him 4 times, can't get a hold of him. Which made me really think of, Philip found that pretty funny. the idea of him calling like this guy like four times, he's not picking up the phone.
Yeah, maybe.
Come look at the phone, being like, oh,
is that hurting us? Is that hurting us that our insiders are pestering him? Maybe. Maybe give up after two phone calls. Try again tomorrow.
I don't think I would call more than once.
Maybe it was one call and three texts. I don't know. He says he tried to contact him four times. I don't know.
God. Just out here double texting 20-year-olds. Hey, where are you going to school, buddy?
Huh? I think you got one call, maybe even one text. Follow up. Be like, hey, when you get a chance.
This comes around the same time that it was basically rumored, announced, reported that Tennessee, I guess, is self-imposing 75 scholarships, limiting themselves, a reduction, only, you know, filling 75 spots. This comes at that same time. So Tennessee football might lose their one big transfer and is apparently limiting the number of scholarships they're going to have.
That's why everyone's dipping.
Perfect.
But meanwhile, we have Auburn, the number one team in the country right now. Or at least the number two team in the country in the polls and the number one on bracketology. And they were part of a damn FBI investigation.
Justice, am I right?
An FBI investigation. Ah, you're fine.
Yeah, the FBI didn't.
You're fine. You know, one guy's going to go to prison, but the rest of you guys, you're good.
Yeah.
Just keep coaching, keep recruiting at a high level. What's that? You were cheating Auburn to get recruits? Oh, yeah, no, it's fine. Okay. Jabari Smith's coming to school. It makes perfect sense. Yeah. How could you turn down the basketball blue blood, the powerhouse that is Auburn basketball? Nope. Yeah, no, true. Makes sense.
Yeah, this is the issue with the NCAA, and they're so inconsistent with stuff like this. This, even like the LSU stuff, and it's all around. It's going so great.
LSU wins a national championship as they're getting investigated for like funneling money from Children's Hospital to recruits.
Yeah.
In football, they get to win a national championship.
Then after the national championship, you have Odell just handing out money on camera.
Don't worry, it was fake.
And then you have Oklahoma State getting a one-year ban for the same things that other teams aren't getting punished for in the same investigation. You have Missouri that got a postseason ban for academic fraud that like wasn't all that serious. There is no consistency. It's very annoying.
It's absurd, yeah.
It's still frustrating that, you know, it was a different time, obviously, but Bruce Pearl having a barbecue and then lying about it was enough to give him a show cause and us to lose him as a coach, but then him doing worse things at Auburn is just like, yeah, you're number one.
As a repeat offender.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, again, they're the number two team in the country in the polls and the number one overall seed right now. So that's great. That's great.
Woohoo.
Auburn, Kentucky this weekend is going to be fun. Also,
where's that game at? I just think of college basketball. I think college basketball has proven to still have the most home court advantage of any of the sports.
It's at Auburn,
yeah.
Which is the best home court in the SEC currently, probably.
Because the team's really good or because of the fans?
The fans.
What are they doing? Just being loud and like,
yeah,
crazy?
I mean, like Auburn right now, just they have the most rowdy, I guess, loudest, most impactful fans in the SEC.
I just think their team.
Well, yeah, they're also very good. Like, those two things usually go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see the zoo getting rowdy.
Well, I know, but you're just saying it's the best, like, thing. Like, I mean, I know they're the best team right now.
Well, even before they were the best team, when they were just one of the good teams, like, they still, I would say the last couple years have had one of the better home court advantages, if not the best, in the SEC.
I just don't think of them in that way.
Who has a better one?
I'm asking.
Like, off the top of your head.
Tennessee and Kentucky?
I don't think Kentucky's even, like, top
LSU.
Four or top five.
I mean, I just think with as many more people as they have, I mean, they're fitting 20,000 people compared to like 8 or 9.
Kentucky just is not a loud building.
Okay.
I mean, at least I've been there 4 times, 5 times.
I don't know. I see every team in the conference complaining about the referees and how the officiating there gets influenced by the fans.
Yeah, the officiating. But like,
I mean, I think that's a part of home court advantage.
I didn't find them very loud, though. Like, to me, they were just, it was a bunch of old people in sweaters. And then.
But how much can you affect officiating, I think, goes hand in hand with how good the home court advantage is. And if you're telling me that, like, you know, they get a good whistle there, I think it's because they have a big, nice arena and a lot of people.
It's a side effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that goes a part of home court advantage. But Auburn's,
I guess I was just speaking from strictly an atmosphere perspective.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know Tennessee can turn it up, but the bad part is when you have those big arenas like we have and Kentucky has, if you're not at full like pitch, it does not feel like as loud and crazy as whenever, you know, you just got 8,000 crammed on top of you versus 20,000 spread out. Anything else happened last night, Charlie?
Yeah, you had Duke go on the road, take on a Florida State team that's trying to get it back together, that's trying to get their resume back towards being a bubble team.
Yeah.
After some of their early lumps, you know, they beat Syracuse, Miami, Louisville, three straight going into that game.
Florida State currently, I think, still in the next four out portion of bracketology.
Yeah, they are, they're 11-5, and the ACC is not really going to give them any good wins at this point.
Although I guess
unless it's at UNC or Duke.
I guess the updated bracketology was actually yesterday morning, so I guess maybe Florida State has played their way in with Duke.
That probably gets them to next four in, last four in territory.
Yeah.
Because Duke is really the only great win left out there in the ACC with how bad they are this year. You're looking at like a 3 or 4 bid ACC this year.
It's crazy to me how these guys just can't update this thing. You're a bracketologist.
Yeah, what else?
It's really he doesn't have a lot else going on.
Yeah, and Jerry Palm's not doing it either. Like, what are you guys doing? Like,
Jerry Palm's the worst. Jerry Palm is just the woat.
That's fine, but like, if you are a bracketologist, like it's conference play time. Like,
yeah, like at least Jerry Palm though, he has other responsibilities, other things he writes about. Joe Lenardi is just a bracketologist.
That's all he does.
Mm-hmm. You think he could give it to us every day. But, yeah, so Florida State last night, they built a decent lead on Duke. Then Duke loses one of their best players, freshman Trevor Keels. He's from the DMV. Went to my uncle's high school.
Okay. Or,
yeah.
It's your boy.
Yeah. Well.
Trevor Keels, your favorite basketball player.
Not a fan.
It's not her.
Not a fan.
Oh. Okay. You guys got beef?
Yeah. Me and him have beef. Not just don't like him.
Fair enough.
And he goes to Duke, so now I like him even less. But
my bad.
Hoping he's all right, though, because last night he did suffer a knee injury late in the second half that looked to be pretty serious. He was down on the floor for like 6-7 minutes, carried off the floor, have not seen an update this morning. It does not look like the good kind of knee injury, though those don't really exist either. Duke kind of did better without him then. He wasn't having a great game.
Is Duke a contender this year?
Yeah, they are.
Is there a chance they send Coach K out on a high note? Because I just have successfully avoided it, but like I haven't been like hit over the head with the Coach K retirement tour stuff that I thought I would.
I haven't either. I thought it would be like SportsCenter's leading story, like, oh, tonight on the retirement tour,
last
Coach
time
K,
playing here,
you know, heading to Wake Forest.
I think you're going to get that obviously for like the rivalry with North Carolina.
Yeah.
And you're going to get it more down the stretch. But, yeah, anyway, Florida State, though, they do pull out this game in overtime, 79-78, after Duke came back without Trevor Keels to force overtime. Wendell Moore Jr. had a really good look at the rim to hit a game winner pretty much at the buzzer. And Florida State got up, blocked the shot, really nice, clean block. And Florida State physically dominated Duke for most of this game, especially on the offensive glass.
They said something like Florida State's won like 12 straight overtime games or something insane.
Clutch.
Like, yeah, anytime they go to overtime, they just win. They also, Lewis Hamilton now has like the most wins as an unranked team versus ranked opponents. I think of like, I don't know if it was active coaches or anything like that, but he has like 50-something wins.
Oh,
just,
wow.
He wins when they're, you know, unranked. So.
Okay.
Lewis Hamilton, great coach, very underrated, but. Duke has now lost two out of their last four games, one at home against Miami and then on the road last night. In a weak ACC, that's not a great thing for them.
Man, I wish Tennessee could get back to where I cared about this stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just hard for me to care right now in January just because if Tennessee was relevant nationally, it would matter more, but right now
they're relevant. They're not overly relevant, but
I don't feel like they're in the grand scheme of things right now. I mean, you know, when you're barely, you know, a 5 seed and you're like hanging at the very end of the top 25, you're not worried about the top teams in the country. Now, obviously, in March and, you know, rolls around, this all changes because a 5 seed, you will be playing a 1 seed and like you're geared up for tournament time. But right now, like I don't have a lot of confidence in this Tennessee team, and it's affecting my.
I guess just like. I'm not only a Tennessee basketball fan, I'm just also a huge, huge college hoops guy.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I don't know how many
I understand where you're coming from.
I don't know how many of you guys there are anymore.
There's not a lot.
especially with Tennessee fans.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. I was watching a lot of college basketball to start the year, but for some reason I just haven't been watching this much. And I was enjoying it when I was watching it, but
it's delivered, especially.
Now, it seems like college basketball has done pretty well as far as creating like a pretty good product so far this year.
And there's a little bit, like, there's a decent amount of parity this year, which is nice. Mm-hmm. You know, you have more mid majors that are playing well this year and in bubble contention at this point in the season, or in NCAA tournament contention, than I think we've ever had. You have some good teams out west now, which you haven't had in a while. The Pac-12 has been down for a good bit, which I guess makes it a little bit more national too. And since the national championship game, which is, you know, last Monday, since that Tuesday following, college basketball has been really good, which is important, obviously, when, you know, college football ends to start putting a good product together.
I mean, college basketball gave you a champion that you hadn't had before last year in Baylor. Yeah. I mean, at least, you know, hadn't had, and I don't think Baylor ever won, right? I mean, or maybe it was it the 60s? I mean, like,
I don't think so.
I don't think they'd ever won one, right? So, like, they gave you a new champion for basically all of our lives. I mean, I don't know, again, if they had won one prior to the 60s.
Right.
That's something we still, like, kind of crave in sports. That's kind of what has hurt in college football.
And you can still very well get that again this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially with, you know, I wouldn't want it to be Auburn because they're an SEC school that I don't like, but they have a good chance to be able to win, I think, their first.
Auburn and Gonzaga, you know, being at the top still. I mean, that's...
I really don't like either of those teams.
I liked that Gonzaga team last year, but I haven't really watched them this year since
I despise
they got,
Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I've always just had a burning dislike for Gonzaga.
The beginning of the season, whenever I watched Drew Timmy just like celebrating every damn play he had, yes. And like, I was just kind of like, what are you doing?
Drew
here?
Timmy, I don't like. Chet Holmgren, I don't like. The transfer from Florida that's now their starting point guard, whose name is escaping me currently, I don't like him.
I was going to say Nieder or something like that. Is it?
That sounds close to being right.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
He was their sixth man last year. Now
Nimbar.
Nimbar. Thank
Jordan
you.
Nimbar, right? Is that right?
Andrew Nimbar.
Andrew, yeah.
He had some other good college hoops last night, too. He had Kansas win on a game, winning 3 with 8 seconds left on the road at Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
Kansas,
Oklahoma. Didn't even know they played
last
night.
Yeah, Kansas State go at Texas and pull off a 1-point upset.
Okay.
Yeah, Texas
and,
basketball.
You had
trouble.
Wisconsin claw back on the road against Northwestern.
Wisconsin seems pretty good.
Wisconsin has,
can't wait for the Big Ten to get to the tournament and completely fall apart again.
Well, Wisconsin sophomore Johnny Davis is looking like one of the best players in the country.
If you had to pick one conference right now to win the championship, who would it be?
The Big 12.
Big 12.
They have the best team in the country, in my opinion, in Baylor. They also just have the most teams. I think right now you can feel comfortable saying that they will get 7 teams in the NCAA tournament out of their 10 in their conference. Because I guess Oklahoma State has the postseason ban. So, but Kansas, Texas Tech, Baylor, Texas, Iowa State and Oklahoma are all going to make the tournament,
yeah,
and then TCU
knock off 3 of those that ain't
Kansas
winning
State.
The championship. I mean, of the top 8 seeds, so you know either a 1 or 2 seed, you have the Big Ten has 1 in Purdue. It looks like you have the Big 12 have 2 with Kansas and Baylor,
and Texas Tech probably like a 3 right now, right on the verge, right.
I mean, the Big Ten has a bunch of 3 seeds as well. I don't see Texas Tech. I think they're.
I guess they did just lose in Manhattan over the weekend
Texas
after
Tech
their big
4,
wins.
Yeah.
So that probably drops them back.
And you have the Pac-12 with Arizona and UCLA. So seems a little, you know, it seems evenly distributed at least. All right, good college basketball talk. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Derrick Henry addressed the media. Says he has a big steel plate in his foot, but other than that, there's no difference as far as how his feet are now from before.
Does that stay there forever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, metal detectors are going to be annoying.
Says that he's not going to get into how big his workload is going to be this weekend. And says, you know, no comment, no updates on whether or not he's going to play, but says so with a smile.
Yeah, someone just asked him, hey, are you going to play Saturday?
Yeah.
What do you think? You think he's going to answer that?
Over on FanDuel, they got some props for the rest of the playoffs. Derrick Henry, you said leading the way right now, Cam, in terms of odds to win the postseason rushing title, a.k.a. finish the postseason with the most rushing yards?
Yeah, he is tied with Elijah Mitchell, who led the wild card weekend in rushing for, most playoff rushing yards in this playoff run. Plus 430 over on FanDuel.
It was plus 600, and then I believe I saw it. It's plus 650 even for Derrick Henry to lead the playoffs with in rushing prior to the games this weekend. So I guess no one really had a good performance.
Yeah, I don't think anybody broke 100 or anything like that. I think Mitchell was the leading rusher from the past weekend. Wait, what did you say it was, Charlie? Around 96?
Did I say 91 or 96?
I thought he was in the 90s, I thought, against the Cowboys.
It was, it was 27 carries, 96 yards. Okay. And then Singletary was right behind him with
81 yards, we said. So no one really got out to too far of a lead. Singletary and Mitchell, you said, are second or tied for first, and then second or slash third,
Mitchell,
I guess.
Mitchell and Henry are tied for first. Right. Singletary's third.
Right.
At
so
plus six.
Where's McKinnon? Third.
McKinnon is, I gotta open the see more. He's at plus 1400. He is behind. After those top three, is also behind Mixon, Aaron Jones, Sony Michel, Cam Akers.
I mean, Edwards-Helaire is supposed to be coming back.
Edwards-Helaire, yeah. So that makes sense, yeah.
I wouldn't even play Helaire over McKinnon or Williams
good,
at this
man.
Point.
To me, McKinnon, like,
McKinnon
he
look good.
If it's an offense.
He does. It was very frustrating to see the Chiefs just all of a sudden unveil him. I mean, 12 carries for 61 yards. I mean, that's just, basically a 5 yards per touch average. Mm-hmm. And then added 6 catches for 81 yards.
Yeah, he looked good.
So, I mean, 18 touches for 142 yards. I mean, that's a really good average. And who knows? The Steelers haven't been good against running backs so far this year, so maybe that was just kind of an aberration.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he looks pretty good.
See how he does against the Bills defense again. Like you said, Steelers don't even know if they know that running backs exist. So,
no Ezekiel Elliott, as the Cowboys lost, choked, gagged. No Josh Jacobs, as they lost Joe Mixon, only 40 yards. So I guess the other big-time running backs in there haven't either played in Aaron Jones' case or are eliminated.
Yep.
Leonard Fournette was a threat there as well, and
he didn't play.
He was out on Sunday, so. I mean, the key you got to find here on these bets is to find who the team you think is going to go. The team kind of needs to go the furthest as well.
Mm-hmm.
If the Titans make the Super Bowl, I think Derrick Henry probably leads the playoffs in rushing.
Oh, absolutely.
If they get beat this round, obviously not. If they get beat next round, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
You probably need to play in the Super Bowl at this point to win.
Yeah, I lean Henry. I think my next guy would be Aaron Jones, just off the fact I would think Packers are my pick to go to the Super Bowl. So I kind of think maybe. But him splitting time with Austin Dillon.
He's splitting time, and also I just don't know
Or A.J. Dillon.
Austin Dillon's a race car driver, right?
Yeah.
You got to turn left on the brain.
Yeah.
As far as Aaron Jones is concerned, I don't think of him as, A, the full-time back,
mm-hmm.
B, as someone they just are going to pound, but C, I feel his game this week against the 49ers and then next week against whoever they play, with either the Rams or the Bucks, those are both kind of tough matchups in the playoffs as far as run defenses go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's trending like it's going to be one of the AFC guys.
McKinnon, not a terrible bet at that value, if you believe in the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl. I mean, if he just gives you 60 a game.
Yeah, just if he stays getting that same kind of volume, if
Edwards-Helaire
comes back.
Against the Steelers, so. It's a tough bet.
Terrible. So give me the top 5 odds again, Cam.
Elijah Mitchell and Derrick Henry, plus 430. Singletary, plus 600.
I mean, Elijah Mitchell probably getting knocked out this week, right?
You would think so.
Now, if the 49ers beat the Packers, then I think he's got a really good case of winning. I mean, he could be guaranteed 3 games, which is the most Henry could get to, but he could also play 4 games if they make it to the Super Bowl.
Yep. Absolutely. But, Singletary at plus 600, Mixon at plus 1,000, Jones at plus 1,100, Sony Michel also at plus 1,100. Then you have Akers and McKinnon at plus 1,400.
I do think of those odds, I'd probably bet on McKinnon.
I do, too. I would put, a unit on Henry, half a unit on McKinnon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do get Josh Allen plus 1,900.
I mean, he had, what, 50 yards in the first game?
He had, like, 65.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's averaging 40-something. And in the playoffs, he averages over, like, 58.
I mean, I do think, again, if you tell me that the Bills are going to the Super Bowl, I would say that Josh Allen has a pretty good chance of leading the NFL in rushing in the postseason.
Yeah, because I think that'd be a big part of why they're winning, too, on top of that. So.
Plus, he's had four games, 50 yards of pops, 200. I mean, if they beat the Titans in the AFC Championship, that would be Derrick Henry's second game. So, I mean, yeah, sure, he could run for, 200 yards in these next two games, but still.
Absolutely.
You'd have a chance to beat him. For Derrick Henry, I feel like your best bet, if it was me, I would probably rather have just the plus like 340 on the Titans to win the AFC.
Oh yeah.
Versus Henry leading the postseason in rushing, because I feel like he's going to have to get to the Super Bowl to win.
Yeah.
Can you parlay those together? Or no. Those like depending on
odds? Yeah, you can't.
Be a fun one too.
Yeah. But I mean, I think you agree with that, Cam, or no? Like, I mean, I feel like the
no, yeah, absolutely.
Probably needs to get the Super Bowl, so I'd rather a
lot less
have
variables. I feel like on that one,
the Titans winning because, and not even winning the Super Bowl, just getting to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Although, I mean, I guess there's a chance. I mean, there's a chance we could see him like have a run like he did 2 years ago, where he's running for 150 and 200 yards. Yeah. But last time we saw him last year in the playoffs, he ran for like 40.
About to take a flyer on Van Jefferson, lead receiving, plus 5,000.
Yeah, what are the receiver odds there?
The leader is Travis Kelce, who obviously had
how many did he end up with in week one? I mean, I know he had at least 100. I mean, basically had that at halftime. He finished with 108.
Okay. Yeah, he was pretty good. He is there at plus 340.
Mike Evans looks like he led the – Mike Evans had 117 yards in week one of the postseason. I guess he is in first right now, slightly ahead of Jamar Chase, who had 116 yards.
He is in second at plus 380.
Mike Evans is?
Yes. Followed by Devontae Adams at plus 750 and Jamar Chase at plus 850. Cooper Kupp's at plus 900 right behind that, who he didn't have, he's had a quiet
yards,
day.
Basically.
Yeah.
61, yeah.
And then Tyreek Hill plus 1,400, Diggs plus 1,500, Debo plus 1,600, and A.J. Brown plus 1,800. Julio plus 3,500.
What about Nick Westbrook Akina? Is he on there?
Yes, plus 6,000.
That's where I want my money.
You're going to see an unleashed Julio Jones, Cam.
Oh.
Yeah.
For the first time ever, I'll see an unleashed Julio Jones.
No, not for the first time ever. You're going to be very familiar with it.
Mm, okay.
You're going to think it's 2016. Mm. You're going to be sitting there saying, wow, did they find a time machine?
And you're going to see an unlocked Nick Westbrook Akina. Don't forget about him. Co-wide receiver, too.
Sounds like a lot of mouths to feed over there.
You know, that's something you got to worry about in the regular season. I think in the postseason, you get guys to put things aside.
I don't think we've ever had issues with that either. Our culture, our coaching, just too good.
It's true.
Plus, they're never healthy at the same time, so like they just each kind of get their rotations. Like, all right, these 3 weeks, like you're the one playing, you get these targets. You get hurt now. Okay, well he's back.
We are very healthy.
Healthiest we've been.
Healthiest we've been. Healthiest you possibly could be.
You can get Julio and AJ Brown to combine for 150 receiving yards this week at plus 150.
Is that a boost?
It's just a weekend. It says divisional weekend specials.
Really?
Under like player props. Yep.
So not even with the max bet?
Nope.
Yep. 150 yards?
Yep. For AJ and Julio combined.
At plus 150?
Yep.
Does that not seem like a good bet?
Is this how we buy our Super Bowl tickets, John?
Kind of depends on what you kind of think the game plan is. You think if they're just going to strictly run game and I don't know.
I think we'd buy our tickets just by betting.
Because if Tannehill only
to get to the Super Bowl, that'd be a better payout. And, you can still, he could have 150 yards and they could lose.
Yeah.
Which I guess we'd get our money back. Yeah. We wouldn't have to go to the Super Bowl at that point. But still.
My thing is, if Tannehill only throws for 200, is 150 of that going to be just those two guys?
Well, Nick Westbrook Akina is going to give you, 40 to 50. 60.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true.
You did kind of talk me down from that ledge a little bit, honestly.
Although I don't know if they're going to.
The ledge, but.
Yeah, the possibility of doing it. Yeah.
The possibility it's a shootout, though.
Yeah. If the Bengals are scoring, you're going to have to throw the ball a little bit.
Scoring was down, though. First round of playoffs. I mean, I think the unders went what?
5-1
5-1
Yep.
The over, the only over that hit was what? Buffalo.
Yep.
Buffalo, New England.
No, they hit over for sure. Though.
And then Chiefs Steelers. So it's 4-2
Yeah, because I think theirs was around 48
It was 47-17 People were betting. People were hammering that under because of how cold it was going to be.
I did my math wrong.
Yeah, 4-2
We know I don't do math.
Yeah, 4-2 I believe.
I thought they went 5-1 though.
No, the Bills Patriots went over. I mean, the Chiefs scored 42 points.
I just feel like I saw.
That was 63 combined points.
Yeah, that would have been over.
You're right, but I don't know.
4-2 is what it was.
I think you're right.
We did have the Dallas Cowboys quarterback speak yesterday. We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important.
Those special postseason bets were on FanDuel Sportsbook. You can make every play matter that much more in the NFL playoffs on FanDuel Sportsbook. New customers could get 30-1 enhanced odds this weekend. Bet $5 to win $150 on any team to win any divisional playoff game. Titans. Just sign up on the FanDuel Sportsbook app, make a deposit, use a promo code FANRUN. What am I saying? Use the promo code TALKSPORTS to get your 30-1 enhanced odds. FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. If you already have FanDuel Sportsbook, all customers can get free $50 when you refer a friend. Your friend gets $50 too. Don't miss your chance to win $150 this weekend on a $5 bet. Use the promo code TALKSPORTS when signing up on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Again, promo code TALKSPORTS. Must be 21 or older. And present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Cam, we didn't really even talk about it yesterday, but Dak Prescott basically was like, hey, fans, I'm happy that you're throwing bottles at the referees.
Yeah, it was you know, obviously, they were right after the game, interviewed him, and he was first was condemning the throwing of bottles because he thought it was at, you know, the Cowboys. And then they said, oh, no, they weren't throwing it at the players. They were throwing it at the refs. And he said, oh, credit to them then. Which, yeah, I can't really say a little bit, but.
The refs did not find that funny.
Mm-mm, not even just NFL refs.
NBA refs came out and put out a statement on Twitter. Refs were mad. And, I mean, on one hand, they're like, hey, you can't be, like, telling fans to hurt us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't be inciting violence and saying it's cool to hurt us.
Yeah, because he basically was like, oh, you were throwing stuff at refs? Cool. Yeah. Good on them. Do it again.
NBA ref Twitter, by the way. We talked about it on the Blitz earlier.
Uh-huh.
Just go scroll through that at some point. It's pretty funny.
I didn't even know they had an NBA ref Twitter.
I've seen it before. Got any highlights?
I mean, they just, like, announce starting lineups for primetime games, but it's just the three refs. They put together, like, NBA referee Mount Rushmores.
That's funny.
Just, like, it's a lot of hype for the refs. They're big ref people.
Okay. Well, Dak is not.
Yeah, well, Dak, it's your own fault. You know, you slid on the 26. Then you tried to spot the ball yourself on the 23.
Yeah, give it to the ref, man.
Hey, it's your own fault.
That's basic football.
Execute.
That's basic last-minute football. The ref has to be the one to do it.
Blame it on the refs that you just aren't smart.
He came out and he apologized last night.
Yeah, he's tweeting through it. Issue the statement, all that jazz, but yeah.
Came out and said, nope, I'm sorry. I was got caught up in the heat of the moment. Please don't hurt the refs. We love the refs. Please don't do that.
Ugh, I hate Dak. I don't like Dak at all.
Is that going to be like talked about this offseason? Like, not just Dak Prescott, but, like, are they going to use the comments against him that he had after the game? Because it was a bad look, and everyone kind of agreed, like, hey, you can't do that. Now, heat of the moment, you're mad at the officials. Although, like you said, I don't know how he's really mad at the officials. I don't feel like it was a poorly officiated game. Like, it's not – a lot of the penalties and, like, you know, you even had Mike McCarthy after the game. Like, I thought they were going to let us play more. Yeah. A.K., I thought they were going to let us, like, you know – cheat a
get
little
away
more.
With stuff.
Well, yeah, but like some, like the very first play of the game, you jump off sides. Like a couple of the penalties you had were just jumping off sides.
Yeah,
like,
they were self-inflicted.
Your defensive lineman has his hands in like a guy's face, like on a 3rd and 12, and is clearly like pushing his head back. Like, you can't let that happen. Like, when you say let us play a little more, like if there was a ticky tack pass interference, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I get it. But it's like offsides, which is going to get called every time.
Yep. Yeah, no, I literally had a Cowboys fan trying to like tell me on Monday that, yeah, the game was mostly on the officials just all around. And I was like, no, that's not how it works. When you play poorly, the penalties obviously like hurt you more. And that's kind of what happened. But
defensive holding on run plays doesn't get called often.
Yeah.
But it's a rule where you can't basically stop the lineman from being able to block anybody else. And on the big one at the end of the game, you had Randy Gregory run and like tackle. Yeah. A lineman out of nowhere.
He was just a problem the whole game as far as getting penalized.
I, for one, am shocked that Randy Gregory displayed bad decision-making.
Yeah.
You're taught to hold as a defensive lineman, especially if you're getting double-teamed. You know, you latch onto the guy in front of you, you hold him, and then you turn your body into the other guy, and you just take them both down with you. But you get away with that. And again, like you said, Randy Gregory just ran and tackled a guy in the open field.
Yeah. It's like holding like on offense where if your hands are inside, you're good. But like once you start doing all the other stuff, that's when they'll call it, yeah.
But if relating to Dak, though, like if that was my quarterback, obviously, you know, you can't say that about the referees, but I wouldn't really be all that mad at him. And
I mean, I'm sure
Cowboys fans enjoy
making
fun of Dak because he's a Cowboy, but also it's not a big deal. Just don't say that about the refs again. You were mad after a game.
Yeah.
I'm mad after a game. I also say bad things. It is what it is.
50 million people watched that game.
Jeez, that's funny.
Yeah, 50 million people at its peak watched Cowboys 49ers. It was the most watched game of the weekend, averaging 40 million viewers, but at its peak, 50 million. Now, you know, I would say it was a good game to put, like, I mean, I guess we're going to get another generation of either Cowboys or 49ers fans since they put that game on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
But 50 million.
Do you have the numbers for Nickelodeon specific? I would love to know.
I've not seen that specifically. I just added together. It was 50 million at the peak.
I want to know the Nickelodeon numbers. It was so good. I love Nickelodeon broadcasts.
It's a good way to get new fans. To dumb it down. Teach the game to people.
Yeah.
Something they said John Madden always did. Like, you don't really see that on most of our broadcasts these days. Like, it's a nice trick for Nickelodeon. It was a really good move from the NFL.
Absolutely.
Hour 2 in the books. We'll kick off hour 3 with headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.